Hi, everybody.
Welcome back to another episode of CNC.
Oh, wow, okay. welcome back. And now we're in Rome. And as you can hear, we're not back to our normal sound again. Mm-hmm. But it's because, obviously, we're in Rome. And we're getting back, though, to a better sound next week. Yes.
And you'll see. When we're back in the U.S., too, our sounds will be even better. But here it is where we're at. And thank you for having grace for us and as we're in this process.
Yeah.
And I hope that you still feel quality in what we're talking about, even if the setup or the sound or whatever isn't perfect. The best. But we give with what we have, and we hope this is enough.
Yeah. I mean, our voices are clear enough to be heard. So
That's true.
So really, if you care about what we're saying, I feel like it should be okay, but we want to give, you know,
excellence.
Something better. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We are, yes, as Matthew was saying, we're in Rome. This is a very interesting place, but we won't talk much about it. If you have been in Rome, then you understand what we're saying. It is an interesting city. There's a lot of beauty in it, for sure. It's just a lot of people here.
It's beautiful. It's a really majestic place. It's just, you know, a little too crowded.
Mm-hmm. It's true. And I think if we didn't come here, I would always just wonder about it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I still enjoyed what we saw.
Unknown thing.
Yeah. I still enjoyed what we saw, like, especially the Colosseum and stuff. That was really, really cool.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's a Roman Empire, you know? It's like every man has an obsession with the Roman Empire.
Okay. You were very fascinated about it. It seems like everything we're learning about, you really enjoyed. Which isn't, I mean,
that's something I learned a lot.
I learned a lot. Sure. Also, I was trying to link in what we were talking about before. The unknown. I don't think you got it. Anyway.
Oh. Well, I missed it. But
it's totally fine. Sometimes you got to figure out how to link in what we're talking about with what we say. But
yeah.
Sometimes it doesn't work. But do you want to introduce your topic, since this was something you came up with?
Okay, wow, the pressure. So if you guys don't like this, you know, it's my fault. Well, I wanted to talk about stepping into the unknown. So I guess that's the link that you wanted to do.
Tempting.
Because you didn't know much about Roman history.
No, just Rome in general. Rome.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I want to talk about the unknown, stepping into the unknown. Obviously, when it pertains to relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Because no, I mean, specifically for relationships, but obviously you can apply that to any new thing, anything that, especially things that require commitment, because, you know, there's a lot of things that you can do in life that don't necessarily require a commitment. And if you don't like it, you can stop, you know, even jobs, like obviously you need a certain level of commitment when you work, but if you don't like it, you have the freedom to leave. Now, for relationships, especially marriage, it's definitely a bigger thing. Like, it's not something to take lightly. You can't just leave your marriage because you don't like it. You know what I mean? Like, you have to honor the commitment you made to the person. And we say that, I feel like, all the time. But when we're talking about abusive or toxic relationships, that's something else. But we're talking about a relationship that's healthy, or at least there's no abuse, there's no toxicity.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe some work that needs to be done. Like, there's work to be done in every relationship anyways. So, but stepping into the unknown when it comes to relationships, whether it's starting to date, being engaged, and obviously being married.
Yeah. I think we have there's a lot of, again, fear that goes around with not knowing if what we're stepping into is going to be what it looks like at the end of the tunnel, in the sense of, I know all this stuff now, but what if, kind of these what ifs of, we had somebody mentioned this for us to talk about in a podcast. We're kind of tying that into of kind of this fear of infidelity, like, what if they cheat? What if I marry them and then they end up, like, yeah, cheating on me? Or it's pretty much ends in divorce. Or what if we get married and then something switches up, but kind of just, like, really big, we don't know what's going to happen. And I think that freaks a lot of people out. You don't know. The thing is, I think for almost anything in life that's good, you never know what it's going to look like. You don't, even when you have a child, you never know what that's going to, what's going to happen. All you know is that you're going to love that person and you're going to love the child that comes out of you or that you adopt or that you, whatever, you're going to love that child. That's all that you know. You never know if you buy a house, what the investment's going to look like in 2 years. You don't know. Like, you know what I mean? Like, even if you're investing in real, like, in the stock market, you don't know what's going to happen. Like, all the things that have a big out, risk can lead to big reward, right? I think when it comes to big risk, there's a lot of these things of commitment, of, like, marriage, of having a child, of, like, things that we do not know what we're doing, but we're taking a big risk of faith just to kind of do it. I think that freaks a lot of people out because we would rather know exactly what it's going to look like before we step into something. But very, very, very few situations, you know, the outcome of anything, right?
Yeah, that's true. I think every person is just trying to, like, do the math and try to take as much information as possible before you commit to something. And that's normal. And I think that's good to do that. I think that's normal. I think that's healthy, but to a certain degree. Like, obviously, if you're trying to find the perfect solution, the perfect option or whatever, then you're never going to be satisfied because perfection is just not possible. It doesn't exist. But if you don't want anything but perfection, you're just never going to find anyone. Mm-hmm. And you're never going to commit to anyone. And you're expecting something that you can't even give to someone else. If you expect a partner to be perfect, but can you be perfect? Like, are you perfect? So if you require that from someone before you commit to them, then you need to look at yourself before that. Like, if you are actually a perfect person, then yes, you can want perfection. But if you're not, you cannot want that.
Sure.
It's unfair.
Sure. And I think too, for some people who are in this mindset, you might think that your partner is like, yeah, like, this is as good as I'm going to get. Like, I do believe that this is the best person I'm choosing. But what if I was wrong? What if something comes up out of the woodworks? What if I do all the right things and it ends up with the wrong circumstance? And I think that if there's this very real thing of what we believe will happen, not saying will happen, but that's all we're focusing on. It's kind of like, oh my gosh, like, what if, I'm so afraid that somebody's going to die. And so I'm always just, like, worried that that's going to happen, that don't actually continuously live life. And even if that happens or not, I've talked about the story before, but I love, you've heard this before, Brene Brown. I think there's a guy who really follows her stuff. I don't know the logistics of how she had the story, but I think he submitted it. Anyway, it was a man who lived his life. He was married, he had kids, all the things. He lived his life always just, like, worried about the next thing, about the next thing, about the next thing, and never actually fully embraced life. And he was just always so worried. So he would always live life enough, like, one foot in, one foot out for almost everything, because he was so afraid of something happening. And then one day his wife got in a car crash and died instantly. And he said that the pain of it was really, really hard. But the thing that was worse, that hurt the most, was the fact that he never fully lived with her. Like, he's like, I regret that I didn't really fully live the moments that we had together. And now they're all gone. You know what I mean? Like, it's over.
I think you even, because I feel like you told me that story before, but what you also said is that the guy said that, like, living his life like that didn't make the pain any less.
Yeah, that's true.
The pain was as, like, was horrible, like, even though he lived his life on guard, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's true. Yes, yeah. And I think there's both aspects of that, too, of you can be so prepared of, oh my gosh, like, what if my future husband and wife cheats on me? And so you're always, like, one foot, like, suspicious. Like, I can't get too open, too vulnerable, because if I do, then something could happen. I just gotta be, like, one step ahead. And then you're, like, not actually one enjoying your actual marriage, because you're always looking at this like, fear here. If you're seeing the video, I'm pointing. But you're looking at this fear over here, rather than actually just, like, being present in the moment with your partner and actually embracing life to the fullest degree, because you're always afraid. We let fear infiltrate every space that hope could actually be a part of, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. And that just isn't a way of living life. We can have the fear, and we can have the fear and we can live with it, or we can choose to let it go and choose to connect to hope and faith yeah. in the situation. And I think it's easier at times for us to be comfortable in the anxiety and comfortable in the fear because we know what to do in that situation. We know what to do when we're afraid, but we don't know what to do when we let joy come in fully and this unknown of like, what if I just trust fully and live life like that? Or we don't know what to do with that.
Yeah. Well, that's something that we talk about all the time anyways, but anxiety just gives you a sense of control. And so that's why people choose to dwell in it, because it's like, I feel like I can, especially when we talk about stepping into like marriage, for example, it's like, I can't expect to live something good if I'm not in control. And anxiety gives me that sense of control. Mm. And so it's like, I want to stay in that anxiety because I feel like I can prevent the worst case scenario.
Yeah.
When you're doing the opposite, actually. Because it's like, we, like, Joy and I, we believe in the law of attraction. And we believe that you attract what you believe in and what you dwell on. And so you have to be intentional about keeping your thoughts. And it's not easy. Like, I'll be honest with you. Like, I have a hard time with our business. It's really challenging for me. Because I want to attract the best outcome all the time. But it's hard for my brain to let go of, like, the uncertainty, which is basically what we're talking about here. It's like, you have to have faith that you are okay and you are going to be okay and things are always going to be figured out and everything is always going to work out for you good.
Yeah.
Even though you don't have all the answers, you don't know. I don't know what our life is going to be in the next 20, 30 years. Like, obviously I have hopes and I have dreams and I have things that I believe are going to happen for us. But I don't have the how all the time. And I don't have all the details of what that's going to look like. But I do trust that it's going to be okay. And it's going to be more than okay, actually. It's not going to be just okay. Like, I'm not going to just live my life surviving. And that's the same for marriage. Like, that's something that was so important for me when I had relationship anxiety, was to be able to stop worrying about the like, potential situations that could happen in the future, but know that, like, I can step into marriage and whenever something happens, I'll figure it out.
Yeah.
But obviously, I feel like that brings me to talk about something else too. You know, when people say, like, prepare for the worst, hope for the best. Mm. I don't like that saying at all, because I really don't think you can't hope for the best when you prepare for the worst.
Mm-hmm.
I do think that that doesn't work, because for me, when I prepare for an outcome in life, if the outcome I'm preparing for is the worst, then my hope is fake.
Yeah.
I'm just dreaming.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just like, no, I'm not dreaming. I'm fantasizing.
Yeah.
Like having a fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you have this fantasy of a life that you would like to live, but you prepare for a miserable life.
Right. You have no intent of living that hope. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
It's
so true.
It's like, because when you prepare, like, hope is anticipating a good outcome. Mm-hmm. That's what hope is. But when you prepare for the worst, you're doing the complete opposite. You're anticipating for a horrible outcome.
Right.
It's like, oh, we're just like hoping that things turn out okay, but the actions that you take are aligned with the opposite of the outcome,
mm-hmm.
you know? And it's like, that's again, going back to the law of attraction, that's what people do, is when they have anxiety, they are constantly preparing for the worst, but at the same time, they're hoping for the best, but then their actions align with the worst.
Mm-hmm.
Because what happens? They break up, they leave.
Right.
Because they prepare for the worst.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. And I saw this reel the other day, and I loved it. And it said, my therapist told me this, and it changed my life, or something like that. And it said, I think it was something along the lines of, like, writing out what's the worst case scenario. but don't just like stop there, because that's where my mind always goes. Like, what's the worst case scenario? The worst case scenario is that I could die. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. If we think about what the worst case scenario, we could always think about what it is. Our minds are very quick of doing that. But then it said, then the therapist wrote, but then what is the most likely scenario to happen? Mm. And then there was one other question within. I should have wrote it down. I brought it up in a session the other day, and I forgot what the other one was. But it's like, what is the worst case scenario? What is the most likely thing to happen? And then what is the best thing that could happen? I think, I'm not sure if she put that or I added that. I don't remember. But either way, there's something along the lines of, we never actually think about what is the best thing that could happen, because that scares the heck out of us. It scares us. Like, even for anything that I think of for my life, like, I can honestly, I actually feel the weight of that. Like, I feel myself, when I ask myself what is the best thing that could happen, I feel myself feeling lighter, and then I feel another thing being like, you know what I mean? Like, oh my gosh, what if, you know, what if it doesn't, like, it's so easy to kind of rob that moment. But if I let myself feel it, the best case scenario for anything that we do is just like, wow, we're, you know, I can talk to you all day about what that would be like, you know? And I can even feel like my throat get tight a little bit as I think about it, because it would feel so beautiful. And I think that we never let ourselves feel that so fully, because it's so scary. It feels scary to do that.
But I think, you know, because we always attach we feel like there's always a catch.
Sure. Wait, sorry, say more.
Like, when you feel, I think that's the scary part is, okay, there's multiple, obviously there's a lot of aspects to what scares us when we think about the best outcome. And obviously one of them is, we just don't know how to get there. That's one of them. We don't know the how. And again, this need for people to feel like they need to be in control. And so they want, if they don't know the how, it scares them to think about the best.
Sure.
Because it's like, it's like, if I don't know how to get there, I'd rather just not think about it. You know what I mean?
I hear you.
Because I'm speaking that for also my own process too. Sometimes it's like, this is what I want, but I just don't know how to get there. And that scares me, because it's like, it feels delusional. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It feels like, oh, I don't know what to think. I don't know how to get to that. So I don't want to like dwell on it, because I don't know how. And then the other thing is also because people are, they feel like there must be a catch. Like, you can't just think about that best outcome without thinking that there something negative might happen with it. You know what I mean? Like, that's a problem. That's sure. Also a problem.
And I don't think any of those actually is kind of what comes up for me. My thing comes up in the sense of, and when I think about like best case scenario, coming to fruition, I think sometimes what comes up for me is just this thought of like, you don't deserve it, and that's not gonna come up, that's not gonna happen for you. And mm-hmm. I think it's kind of like, if you know, if we believe that's true, mm-hmm. in any aspect or any sense of the word, of like, life can't be that easy for you, like, life actually can't be that good.
Yeah,
just like, you know what I mean, like 20 things have to happen in order for you to even get close to that, and it's not, don't even expect that. It's kind of just like, well, then it's scary to actually live in hope and be like, what if the best case scenario did happen for you? And what if it was that easy? And what if it was that good? And what if you just had that? Like, what if that happens? I think there's a lot of insecurities that come up, at least for me.
Yeah.
And potentially some of you guys are listening that show up of like, oh my gosh, like, what if I do have an incredible marriage? And what if things do go well and they don't cheat on me? And we actually have an incredible family and we break off all this other stuff. I don't know if I can handle that. Like, that scares me. I don't know if I can handle something that good. And so I'd rather live in something that's more mid, and me having more fear and just believing in that rather than believing in hope, because I don't know what to do with hope. I don't know. Nothing's ever felt so good before and so easy before. And that's, you know what I mean? Like, it's kind of like, I'd rather connect to the tragedy and the trauma and like the difficulties, because that feels more familiar than to connect to something that's like, oh, this just works out. Wait, what? Like, you know what I mean? And that comes from a lot of things from my own past. I'm not saying I got a lot of trauma at all. I've had my own stuff. Especially when it comes to finances and it comes to things of things being good, of just believing things being happened when, okay, like the you know, not to go into stuff, but like the light bill wasn't always on all the time. You know what I mean? Like things were shut off in our house because of money not coming through and me seeing struggle being a normal.
Mm-hmm.
It's so much easier sometimes to connect to that because it feels like my mind knows exactly what to do with that. I work extremely, extremely hard and make sure I get all the, you know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. I do all the work rather than just letting go and letting God take over. I think we can respond from a trauma response at times of, I'm not used to things being good. So I connect to what I connect to a fear because I'm used to living in fear and then responding from a fear,
mm-hmm.
you know, rather than responding from hope.
Yeah.
And I think that's its own conversation. But if you are somebody who does believe in that and does connect to trauma and fear more than just connecting to things working out for you, that we got to stop that. Like, I know it feels more familiar, but that's not actually any way to live life because you're not actually going to live it fully if you're only connecting to the patterns that you're used to in your life.
Yeah. I mean, I think obviously something with that is just that it's easier for us to reproduce the things that we've experienced. You know, it's like,
yeah,
it feels like familiar. So therefore it feels more normal,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But that's the thing with, you know, healing from anxiety is that it requires intentionality. It requires effort to be able to change the way we see life. You know, the perspective that we have on life, the perspective that we have on marriage, stepping into marriage, like it requires faith, you know, and that's, it's a step of faith. And that's something that I understood when we were dating because also the environment that I was in, people teaching us, you know, about like relationships in general are always like a step of faith. Like if you step into a higher level of commitment, you are stepping into something that has a percentage of risk. And if you're not willing to embrace that, then it won't work out for you. And that's also where trust comes into play as well when it comes to trusting your partner and trust, you know, switching from trust being something that's earned to trust is something that's given. And so I gave you my trust fully, but I also had to give, if that makes sense, give myself trust mm-hmm. as well, of like knowing that I'll be able to handle it, knowing that I'll be able to love you, knowing that, you know, I'll be able to figure it out. And obviously same thing for you, trusting that you will love me, yeah. trusting that you will want the best for me. And obviously I had the cards in my hands of, you know, I knew you and I knew you were a good person and I knew that we had the same perspective on marriage.
Yeah.
And that's also why I signed up with you because I was like, okay, I know that she, like me, she will want to prioritize our connection. She will want to prioritize our marriage above anything, even above whatever happens. Like even now that we're doing this together, like our business together and stuff, like you, I know you would, if it came to the point where like I need to choose business or you, I choose you, you know, like I know that we were clear on that. Not that that choice ever happened. And I don't think that it's ever going to happen anyways, because we'll find balance and because we prioritize our marriage. So, you know, that's the thing. If you're not willing to embrace risk, if you're not willing to embrace a little bit of the unknown, then you will never be able to come to the point of making a choice of like, I'm doing it. I'm signing up for marriage. You know, it's part of it. And even another thing, but that's, again, we're not talking about toxic relationships, but red flags or abusive relationships. We're not talking about that. But another thing that helped me too is, you know, a mentor told me when I was in ministry school, and it was like, if you're not, like, if you don't understand that you're going to get hurt, then you're not ready for a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So you will get hurt. There will be times where you're going to hurt your partner and your partner is going to hurt you. And that's part of a relationship. It's part of being a human being because no one's perfect. And then unintentionally you might end up hurting your partner and they might end up hurting you. I've hurt you, and you've hurt me. Yeah. And that's part of it. Like, that's part of the risk. That's part of the unknown of, like, obviously, I don't know how she's going to hurt me, but I don't need to figure that out. But then when it happens, then after that, you obviously work on reconnecting and making sure that your connection is good and you're back to normal and you work on getting better and better at communicating. And that's part of it, you know. But that's also the beauty of, like, the beauty of imperfection. Because you end up in a marriage where both of you are not perfect.
Yeah.
And because of that, if you're willing to work on your connection and your communication and just, you know, prioritize each other, you will become a better person because you're with someone who's not perfect and because you're not perfect either. And so that's, I think that's the beauty of it is like, you just get better and better. And that only comes when you decide to step into the unknown.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Because I think that if we go from, okay, right, what is most likely and what is the best case scenario and going from there,
yeah,
then that means too that when we have an argument or when things come up, we're going to reconnect and we're going to make it work, right? Like if things come up, like we're not even thinking about, oh my gosh, like what did they cheat? Like, no, we're not even going to connect to that fear.
Yeah.
We're not even going to do that because it's not something that needs to come into your relationship or comes into your marriage, period. It doesn't. That's only going to allow you to shrink up and not connect than for you just to actually open your heart and connect to your person. And when a fear is attached, it's hard to, you can't be, when fear is attached in anything, especially when it comes to your relationship, and especially when it's about your partner, and you're it's kind of like you're shaping your perspective of who your partner is when they haven't even done a wrong. And that's not fair. You know, it's one thing if you're dating the person and they already have committed stuff, and that's a different thing. And yeah, they've showed you already that they've cheated, and that's a different conversation. If they have there's no evidence that gears towards your fear, then we have to take it for what it is. It's fear, and we're not taking it for who that, like a perception of who they potentially could be. You know what I mean? Because then that's a very shaky place to be your partner as, if that makes sense. And so in reality, if you're able to connect to what you have right in front of you and be present and believe, like, we're going to make this work no matter what, because I trust you and and you trust me and we love each other and we're for each other. We're not against each other. Those are the things that are going to make your, like, put a solid foundation into your marriage, into your relationship, in your future marriage, into your future relationship, whichever, wherever you're at in your journey. Because we're not experts at all, but we're about to hit 5 years, which is pretty crazy.
That's true. Like,
we're about to hit 5 years in not less than 2 months, because it's not 17 yet. About 2 months, which is, I mean, time has flown. We've gone through a lot already in 5 years.
Yeah.
And every single day, even after every single argument, you know, not saying we have a bunch, but we do, we argue because we're humans and we're people and we have insecurities and whatever. But I have grown more in love with you because I think I'm knowing you more and we're creating so much more of a foundation into the well of our relationship that it just makes me feel like, wow, even more trust for you, even though I don't think I could have more in the first place. You know what I mean? Like, it really has just been more beautiful. And we're hoping that even our relationship in some aspect can be even a reflection of what, like, of hope, right? Of, like, this can work. I know it can work. And we're giving you hopefully an idea, kind of giving you a new model in your mind of what healthy relationship looks like. Mm-hmm. And not from relationships that have been in the past that maybe have been toxic and unhealthy. We're hoping this is at least some example that you have, truly. Yeah. We're not experts by any means, and if you need to find people who are in healthy relationships that have more longevity than we do, search for that, because you can find it easily on the internet, right?
Which is good.
Which I think is amazing.
Unfortunately,
right?
Sometimes you can find the opposite too, of people who don't understand commitment and don't understand love, and that's something that's, you know, very important. That's what you were saying about building a foundation. It's like, you need to have a healthy, strong foundation before you're able to step into marriage. And that comes with, like, making sure that the way you see commitment, the way you see love, the way you see marriage, the way you see relationships in general, is healthy and can sustain like your marriage.
Right. Yeah.
That's like so important. And, you know, even something, I guess I like that picture, because that's something I wrote when we were going to talk about this topic today. We actually didn't end, touch on that yet. But it was a picture of, I used a picture of the people of Israel when they left Egypt, mm-hmm. and they were in the desert for 40 years. They were, that time was the time, if you compare it to relationships, that was the time of singleness and dating, of like building a foundation, figuring out what they were doing, what they were believing in, you know. And then when it was time to get to the promised land, they had to step over the river,
yeah,
to be able to get to the promised land. But so many of them were worried about what was on the other side. And so they were scared to cross that river. And that, obviously, picturing it, like the promised land being the marriage, and that river being the decision,
yeah,
to actually do it. But so many people were like, they sent people in the promised land ahead of the people of Israel to figure out what was going on there. And then so many of them, when they came back, all of them except one were like, we can't do this. There's all two of them. Okay, wow, look at me. I need to read the Bible again. we can't do this. Like, there's too many people, too many like enemies. Like, we're gonna lose. We're gonna fail if we go there. But then, so they chose to focus on that. But then two of them were like, well, I think we'll be okay. I think we're gonna figure it out. And this land has everything that we need, and everything that we want is in that land. And so at some point they had to make a decision of like, are we going to connect to fear and connect to like potential negative outcomes? Or are we going to connect to the things that we actually want to see, and the things that we want for our lives, you know, and make the decision to cross that river? And so anxiety is like focusing on all those problems when you really don't need to care about that unless you've crossed the river. Mm-hmm. And you don't need to think about them at all. You know, it's like, you'll figure it out. Whatever happens, why are you worrying about what's on the other side of the river when you're where you're at right now?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you're trying to find answers to problems that have not even happened.
Right.
And
so true.
And you don't, but first of all, you don't even need to think that they're going to happen, or believe that, well, at some point it's going to happen. No, you need to figure, you need to trust yourself and trust your partner that like when something happens and if something happens, you will figure it out, you know? And it's not something that needs so much planning. Like, you're only going to be preparing for the worst all the time.
Exactly. Exactly. I love that story in the Bible too, because I think that does a beautiful picture of what it looks like when we connect to hope or connect to faith.
Yeah.
Sorry, connect to fear or connect to faith.
Also, obviously, sorry, I want to say, they did end up crossing the river and they did get what they wanted and they were able to overcome those enemies.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And it's like, oh, we figured it out. You know what I mean? Like, it was fine. We had what we wanted.
Mm-hmm.
So that's part of it. Obviously, like, we're not saying that it's going to be perfect, but it is going to be what you want.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're saying is, you do not need to be preparing for the worst. If you're hoping for the best, you need to prepare for the best. And you need to trust that if something happens, that's in the book that I read before, is like, you don't need to be thinking about problems. You need to trust that if a problem happens, the solution to the problem will be provided for you at that moment.
Hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like, don't think about finding a solution to a problem that's not even there. Why are you even dwelling on that thing that is not even there? And as much as you don't have certainty that the best outcome will happen, you have zero certainty that the worst outcome will happen either. Mm-hmm. You know, like, so why making that outcome? Why choosing to believe in the negative outcome, which you have no evidence for, instead of choosing for the best outcome, that is also you have no evidence for either, but you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, you're choosing the negative one instead of the positive one.
It'd be so much better for your mind to focus on the good one.
You align on the things that you want and you attract them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. That's really good, babe. I think that I don't have anything else to add to that. I think that we've given a lot of really good, like, even just like practical things to do. But at the end of the day, we get to choose what we focus on. And we have, why not allow your heart to connect to the hope rather than connecting to the fear?
Mm-hmm.
And I know it feels very vulnerable, but I think that that's going to be huge for your process to be able to do that.
Yeah.
And with that, obviously, we, for those, right now it's Tuesday, so we had a special last week, but we still have a special going on from now until the end of the month for REA. So right now it's $25 for 3 months instead of the lifetime.
For the first three months.
I want to make this clear to you. The first 3 months of what we're going to be talking about in our membership, the first one is going to be how to actually trust your intuition and why did you stop trusting yourself and how to reconnect to your own heart.
Mm-hmm.
The second one is talking about like red, green, and yellow flags and how, like, what are they and how to like look out for those and how to know what your relationship has and doesn't have. And the third one is on relationship guilt and shame and how that can impact, that can definitely trigger even more anxiety if we don't keep that in check. So those will be the first 3 months of what you'll be getting you'll get those in general, it comes out each month. You have a 3 month minimum. So those are the first three, no matter what you'll have if you join now. And then obviously on the website, we have all the 12 months of content, what we're going to talk about in there as well. So you can look ahead as well. So yeah,
mm-hmm.
I said as well a lot, but yeah, we hope that you will want to join RAA and feel like this would be something that'll be beneficial to you because we're really excited about it. And if you have had questions and you've been wanting like a way in into our life, we'll say, and into what we're, any whatever offers, this is very a good way to kind of jump in. And it's definitely an affordable way. The cheapest thing we do.
Mm-hmm.
But it does not mean the value is this small. If you're in a free masterclass, you've seen the much value we get for free. And so this is going to be really, really beneficial for you. So,
yeah.
Join RAA now up until April 1st and you get it for $25 for the first 3 months.
That's it.
We hope this episode was helpful for you all. Don't forget to rate this podcast, give it a 5-star review, write a comment in the section,
subscribe
on both platforms, on YouTube for watching it or in podcast,
like and comment,
Apple. Yeah, do all the things there. And we will talk to y'all next week.
Thank you for coming.
Love y'all. Bye.
Bye.